Chuck read a moment ago from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've been there several times before. I always read it at funeral services that I conduct, and many times I quote a portion of it or all of it, especially that verse that we ended on, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And so we've been in John chapter 14, these verses, many, many times. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't ever get used to the familiar. Don't ever get used to it. Don't ever take the familiar for granted. Don't ever lose the wonder of a verse of Scripture that you've been back to and over and over and over again. Don't ever lose the wonder of realizing that every word in this Bible is God's Word. And every place that we've been, even though it's been hundreds of times, we ought not to lose the wonder of what that verse is saying. I've told this story before, but it makes the point that I want to make as I start my message about a lady who was on the bus going from one city to another. And the route of travel from one city to another took you by a piece or a part of the Grand Canyon, where you could look over and you could see different things in the Grand Canyon. And so she was on the bus, and there were only two other people on the bus that day, a young man about 21 years old and the driver. And the three of them were making this trip. Of course, the driver was paying attention to the road, had his hands on the steering wheel, keeping his eyes on the road. The young man was just taking it all in. This was the first time that he'd ever been on this particular trip, and he was sightseeing. He had his nose pressed against the window, you know how you do sometimes, and just looking at everything along the side of the road. And the lady had a book up in front of her face like this, and she was just reading that book page after page after page. They got to the part of the trip where they passed the Grand Canyon, and the driver began to point out different things, different colors that were in the canyon, different formations of rocks, all the different things that make up the Grand Canyon. And the young man just sat there and looked, just took it all in. He said, "Oh, what a marvelous, wonderful, beautiful sight." And he was just reveling in it and just enjoying everything that his eyes could take in. And the lady sat there reading her book, page after page after page. Didn't take her eyes from the pages of the book at all. And so they finally got to their destination. They finally got to the city where they were headed. And as the young man and the lady got off the bus, he said, "Ma'am, I couldn't help notice that when the whole trip you had your nose in a book. You never took your eyes off the pages of that book. And especially when we went by the part of the road where we went by the Grand Canyon, how could you ignore all the beautiful things that were there? How could you not even look at it?" And the lady said, "Young man, I want to tell you something. I've made this trip hundreds of times. There ain't nothing new to see. There ain't nothing new to see." Now, I would dare say that the Grand Canyon is big and vast and wide enough that even if you passed it 100 times, if you looked, you could probably see something new every time you passed it. I know it's true of the Bible. You may have been to John chapter 14 hundreds of times. You may have heard it taught. You may have heard it preached. You may have heard it used in a funeral service. But I want to tell you something. Even going to a place like John chapter 14, where you've been hundreds of times, if you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and your mind, God will point something fresh out to you. God will point something new out to you. Something you never have thought about before. Something you never have seen before. And so even though we might have been to this address in the Bible many, many times, please don't take it for granted. Please don't lose the wonder of what Jesus is saying in the first 6 verses of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as you that have read the book of John know, takes place, the events that's described there, or Jesus' talk or his sermon in that chapter, takes place a few hours before the crucifixion. He and his disciples had been in the upper room. They had that Passover feast, the Last Supper as we have come to know it. And as they were walking from that upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was saying the words that are recorded in John chapter 14. They were on their way to the garden where Jesus was going to pray. They were on their way to the garden where he was in that prayer going to sweat great drops of blood. He was going to be arrested in that garden. All of his disciples who professed their love and loyalty to him at the Last Supper were going to forsake him. And he was going to be let alone to the high priest and then to Pilate and then to Herod, where he was going to be falsely accused, unjustly tried, and sentenced by a Roman governor to be crucified on a cross. And as Jesus and his disciples were heading toward the garden, he was beginning to prepare, he was preparing them for what was going to happen. He knew they were going to be sad. He knew they were going to be troubled. And so on the way, he was comforting his disciples. And I like that thought, not my message this morning, but I like the fact that God comforts us or begins to comfort us before trouble even comes. Before the heartaches even come, God begins to put his everlasting arms around us and to comfort us for what he knows is going to come into our life. So he talks to them as he comforts them about his Father. He talks to them about his Father's home. He says, that's where I'm going. I'm going home. I'm going back to my Father's house. And he makes all of them and all of us a promise as he talks about his Father's house. He says, that's where I'm going, and I'm going back to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, you can count on it, I will come back and get you. And he said this. He said, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. And Thomas says, Lord, we have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This morning I want to speak on the subject, the way home. The way home. The fact that Jesus said, I am the way, implies that there were some that thought that there was another way home besides him. And by the way, if you study the Bible, you find that that's what people thought, not only in Jesus' day, but in every person, in every day, and every time. In the day of Adam and Eve, they thought there was another way home. In the day of Cain, he thought there was another way home. In the day of Abraham, there were people that lived with Abraham in the same country that thought there was another way to God, another way to heaven, another way home. In Joseph's day, the one we're studying now on Wednesday nights, there were people that thought there were another way to survive, another way to live. In every day, in our day, there are people that think there are other ways to heaven besides the way that God spelled out for us in his Bible. If you stop and think about that, regardless of what day you're in, all the other ways that people think that they can get to God, all the other ways that they think they can get to heaven, all the other ways that they think they can make it home, all involve man doing something. I just stop and think about it. Isn't that true? Any other way to get home, any other way to get to heaven, any other way to get right with God, all involves us doing something. It involves us being good. It involves us paying some price. It involves us associating with some group. Or it involves us performing some ceremony. For example, people today say, hey, I can get to God, I can get to heaven, I can get home by just leading a clean, moral life. God surely wouldn't send a person who's doing their best to be good. God surely wouldn't send a person who's doing their best to lead a clean, pure, decent, moral life. God surely wouldn't let a person like that not come home. God surely wouldn't condemn a person like that. God surely wouldn't sentence a person like that to eternal punishment, to hell. And so these people think, boy, if I can just be good enough, or if I can join the church, I'll join the church. I'll get my name on the church roll. I'll attend church. I'll get baptized. I'll take communion. I mean, I'll join and I'll perform all the ceremonies. I'll tithe. And mankind thinks, as they have down through all of history, from the Garden of Eden until June 29, 2003, 7,000 some years, mankind has said there's another way home. There's another way to get right with God. There's another way to get to heaven. Now, this is not my message this morning, but I want you to notice what Jesus said about all those other ways. He said, first of all, they're all a lie. He says, I am the truth. And if somebody tells you that there's another way home other than me, they are telling you a lie. Who's the father of all lies? Satan is. That's right. The devil is. Lucifer is. Whatever you want to call him. Call him by many different names, but he's the same old devil. And from the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden, the most dangerous and the biggest lie he has told. He told it to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's still telling it to people today. He says, you can get home a different way. You can get to God a different way. You can get right with God a different way. And down through the ages, he told Eve that. He told Cain that. He told the people in the day of Noah that. He's telling people that today, that you can get home, you can get to heaven, you can get to God by something that you can do. And Jesus said, that's a lie. I am the truth. He also says, all those other ways don't work. He says, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Nobody gets to heaven unless they come through me. Nobody gets to go home unless they come the way that I am, through me. And down through the ages, people have discovered, as they put their faith and trust in other things, that nothing works like Jesus. He's the only way. And then Jesus said, all these other ways, not only are they a lie, not only do they not work, he said, they lead to death. They lead to death. He says, I am the truth, and then what? The life. If you want life, don't believe the lie of the devil. If you want life, don't believe that you can get right with God by doing something. The only way that you can have life is to come my way, is to come the way, the truth, the life, come through me. God's way is the truth. God's way is the life. God's way is the way that will work. It'll get you to heaven. And so this morning, here's my message. I want to mention five things about the way home. Five different things about the way home. When I'm talking about home, I'm talking about the home that Jesus was going to the Father's house. Hey, five things about that this morning. Number one, it's a simple way. It's a simple way. Nobody can say, boy, the way home is too complicated. The way home is so hard to understand that I just can't understand it. God made it so simple that even the smallest child can understand it. We're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. God loved us. And because He loved us, He sent His only begotten Son to pay the penalty that we owed for our sin. First verse that most of us heard as children, the first verse that many of us memorized when we started memorizing the Bible, says that truth in the very same way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What don't you understand about that? Huh? What's so complicated about that? I was sentenced to death. I was condemned by God because I was a sinner. But God loved me. He didn't want me to have to pay that debt. And so He sent His only begotten Son to die in my place. And if I believe in Him, I can have everlasting life. I can get home. It's simple. It's simple. When a Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They didn't give him some big biblical discourse. They didn't have to quote 1,800 verses of Scripture for him to understand what it was to be saved. What they told him was what we need to tell people today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's all there is to it. There's nothing that you've got to do. No ceremony that you've got to perform. No church that you've got to join. You don't have to be a Baptist or a Methodist or an Episcopalian to get to heaven. You got to come the way that God says. You got to come through Jesus. He's the way. And it's a simple way. The way home is simple. We sing the song sometimes. It has a chorus that goes like this. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. The way to get home is simple. Number two, the way home is an old way. It's an old way. It was a way that was devised before anything was created. It was a way that was devised before man committed his first sin. The way home is the way that everybody in the Old Testament came. Adam came this way. Abel came this way. Enoch came this way. The Bible says, and Jesus said this, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. People in the Old Testament didn't get saved any other way than you and I get saved. They were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. They were looking forward to that day when the Son of God was going to come and take their place and pay for their sins, just like we look back to it. It's an old way. It's the way my grandparents made it home. The way that my dad and mom prepared to go home. It's the way my son will go home. It's an old way. The way home is an old way. We sing the song sometimes, the old time religion. Remember that chorus we sang? It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. And it's good enough for me. It's an old way. Number three, it's a narrow way. A narrow way. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Let me be very clear. I don't want anybody to leave this morning misunderstanding this particular point. There's only one way to get to heaven. There is only one way to have a life. There's only one gate that you can go through. There's only one road that you can walk. In the book of Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Only one way. It's a narrow way. Number four, it's a way that's available to all. Nobody is excluded from this way. Nobody is left out. God wants every single person to take this way and get home. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He invites every single person to take this way. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Read a story a couple weeks ago about a sailor that was a wicked person. He went out to sea, and before he left, his mother had given him a little New Testament. She was praying for him, and he began to flip through the pages of that New Testament. Not really interested, not really looking, not really searching, but he says, my mother gave me this, I guess I ought to look through it. He came to the book of John in the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 16. He read that verse, just the first two words, for God. And he read the next two, so loved And he read the next two, the world. And he gave his only begotten son, and he came across the next two words, that whosoever. And the story goes that the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he said to himself, hey, I guess that includes me. I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Guess that includes me. As the story goes, he bowed his head, got on his knees, and he asked Jesus to be his Savior. Whosoever includes you. Whosoever includes everybody from Bradley over here on this side to John back there in the back on that side. Everybody from Cliff up here at the front to Brother Leonard back there at the back. Everybody in between. You are a whosoever. God wants you to take the way home. He invites everybody. And then number five, the way home is a safe way. Once you take it, there's no losing your way. Once you take it, you don't have to worry. The Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I like the prayer that Jesus prayed in John. We said, Father, of all those that you have given me, I haven't lost one of them. I haven't lost one of them. I mean, all the people that tried to stamp out Jesus, all the people that tried to kill his disciples, all the people that tried to stamp out this movement before it even got started, when Jesus was about to be crucified, he was praying. He says, Father, of all those that you've given me, I haven't lost one. I want to tell you something. This morning, his record is still intact. He hadn't lost anybody. All those that have got on this way, all those that have come through him, all those that are depending on Christ to get them to heaven, he hasn't lost one single one. It's a safe way. So the choice is ours this morning. The way is open to every single person. It's an old way. It's a simple way. It's a narrow way, but everybody's invited to come. What are you going to do? You get to choose. I get to choose. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many here this morning have already made that choice. They're walking down that narrow path that leads to life. But there's probably some here that haven't made the decision. You're still depending on something else to get you right with God. You're still depending on something else to get you to heaven. It's not going to work. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And this morning, if you're here and you've never done what John 3:16 says, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I would invite you this morning to do it. Invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and make him your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for familiar passages of Scripture, but what a wonderful, beautiful, marvelous truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And through him, we can get to heaven. Through him, we can get our sins forgiven. Through him, we can have salvation. And Father, I pray for every single person that's here this morning that's never received Christ. They've never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray today would be the day that they make that decision. Help them to quit depending on everything else. Help them to quit depending on everything that they can do and depend on what you did already for them on Calvary's cross. And so I pray, Father, for the young man, for the young lady, for the adult, man or woman, boy or girl, who's here this morning that needs to receive Christ. I pray the day would be the day they decide. Speak to us as Christians, Father. Point out things in our life that shouldn't be there. Make us a better ambassador for you. And Holy Spirit, we just give this time of invitation over to you and ask you to work. Move in people's hearts. Convict them. And instruct them. Tell us what to do and help us to be obedient. We'll be sure Jesus gets all the glory. For it's in his name we pray.